This is ABC Radio Brisbane with Steve Austin.
At 35. Thank you so much. Yes, all the same flowers. $20, please. Have a nice day.
Let's take a look at our cathedrals of capitalism. Welcome back to Jesse Cameron from Moltenstall. Good to see you, Jesse.
Nice to see you.
Catherine Michael, Director of CM Inc. Communications and Marketing. Catherine, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
And Christine Moody, Founder of Brand Audits. Christine, welcome back to you.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Well, Ipswich got news. They're getting a Costco. Two football size field place has been approved. It's going to happen. So who's Costco and what do they do? Why are they a thing?
They're international, large format, and sell everything from diamonds to lawnmowers to toilet paper to baby food. There's 9 currently in Australia, 1 in Queensland, and that Bundamba site will be the second for the southeast corner.
Do they really sell diamonds and lawnmowers?
They do.
Yes, hearing aids and everything. Medical things.
And that's part of their lure. It's crazy and broad and wide, and that's why they need that broad footprint. But their global buying capability is not to be sneezed at. And they've announced that they will look to open 1 store per year within Australia. So it's just another sort of retailer having a different crack at a very wildly different. It's a subscription model.
Yes, I was about to say membership.
How do they pitch themselves?
Pay to play or pay to shop. So you pay an amount as a member and then you get access.
I have to pay them for the privilege of shopping.
$69. And someone said you've got 1 million people that sign up. It's a good little...
Yeah. You pay for the
You can't go in without
it. Sorry, have I entered an alternate universe? I have to pay a shop for the privilege of shopping there.
Of crossing their threshold
and getting discounts.
And perusing their amazing discounts that they bring to the market.
That only goes to members. So the $69, you'll well and truly cover it with what you save. Plus, don't forget, they're getting your data. They're selling to you what you're probably buying.
Interestingly, in their first, one of their early ones in Melbourne, they now have altered the model slightly to actually deliver out from that site to businesses within a 10K radius. So usually it's been come to us and you see what we've got and see all the specials and the crazy, crazy things. But now they're actually sort of said, okay, well, businesses may not come to us, but we can ship to them. So interesting. And Ipswich, growing demographic and that spread between Brisbane and Toowoomba and that broader spread for the southeast corner. So
that means they've got one north and one south, so to speak, in a way.
Southwest.
So there are lots of shops and stores where they get you to sign up to their card.
Yes. Yep.
You join the club, but you don't pay money to do it.
This is about rethinking that loyalty concept. A survey that I read recently said that the average household is members of 18 different loyalty clubs, I suppose, within retailers. I mean, goodness knows how many, coffee cards and things like that I've got kicking around in my handbag.
Yes.
I think the concept, though, of looking at a loyalty program is something that is designed to actually benefit customers versus something that is a little bit more arbitrary. So you've got Amazon Prime for instance, in the United States. Membership by that is skyrocketed. It's gone up 47% in the last 12 months.
Do you pay for that?
You do. So it's an annual fee or a monthly fee. But whereas you get benefits such as free express shipping, on unlimited purchases per year, you also get access to things that people who aren't members can't access. For example, streaming television shows, Hulu and the like.
A bit like Shipster. We've spoken about Australia Post Shipster, where you actually, for the first 3 months to get you enticed, you sign up, you put your credit card in, but you're not charged.
Yep.
And now it's a subscription service.
So. A listener just sent me a note saying Costco sell coffins.
Oh, what? That's handy.
Yep. Is that legal?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do they bury people as well?
You go from nappies to coffins.
That's the extinction.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. We're talking retail because, as I'm discovering, it's a whole different world out there. Let's move to Myer. What is wrong with Myer? Catherine, can I start with you? I mean, you used to work for them at one point, is that right?
Coles Myer.
Okay.
I worked for the Kmart business when Coles Myer had Kmart, Target, Coles Myer.
What's going wrong at Myer?
There's a whole lot of stuff happening in just department stores generally, but Myer and DJ's, as that pure play department store, are both really struggling to maybe smell the tea leaves of what's happening in the broader marketplace, online, omnichannel, like we've just spoken about, even Costco altering their model. Meyer and David Jones are really struggling to address in a rapid way. And they're such sort of iconic, large landed tenants in very big centres. They're really struggling to turn some of their poorer performing sites around, as well as really attack that digital, where some of the smaller operators are doing a fantastic job of it.
What would you do to turn it around, Catherine?
I would. So if I was on the board, I would be rapidly closing some underperforming stores. Mm. I would be really looking at rationalising their brand. I would think I'd take a very hard look where they can carve out some clear airspace between, especially for Meijer, Target and Kmart. That's always a... They're often in centres altogether. And David Jones, I would be looking at fairly seriously exactly where they want to be in the Australian market. If they really want to be the higher end, having a really good stab at that. Because there's excellent examples overseas, albeit off much bigger, you know, population bases. But we're a very small country population-wise. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of these retailers have had a long-term, maybe not monopoly, but duopoly on some of our spend. And maybe that's starting to really unravel. They've had the tea leaves, you know,
for
digital.
A long time. Yeah,
website online buying hasn't been new.
Jessie Cameron.
Well, I have a question for you both, I suppose, on the panel. Do you think there's a reason why neither David Jones nor Meijer has ever investigated their own private labels?
Well, they do have their own private labels.
But actually really going, you know, changing their model from that wholesale offering to something that is... stronger than that?
More upmarket.
Well, yeah,
basically going more upmarket.
A fair percentage
I was going to ask something similar.
Is private label. Yeah. You won't realise it as such,
no,
but a fair
wow,
percentage of Meijer in special...
So what's name. That, Catherine? I haven't seen it.
What does
that
look like?
What does it look like?
Is it Basque? For that's a Meijer's own label.
Yeah. Right.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So we talked about that with alcohol. It's the same thing with cosmetics.
Yeah, and David Jones, especially under its current, has done its own David Jones Essentials range. David Jones does its own cosmetics ranges.
Mm. Right.
So they are definitely have explored that, a way of margin management across their floors.
Mm.
But Meijer probably... So in homewares as well, a lot of those brands are actually their own brands.
But I think, too, we've got to think about department stores. What is a department store? I think they've got this sort of thing, department stores need to be big and lots of levels and we control it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to if I was the department stores, I almost drop the word department store and talk about the offer, et cetera. So I think, you know, a lot of them are
Why don't
struggling.
They go up market and do and say, pay us $100, sign up to an exclusive Meijer club, you get whatever... But then Meijer actually goes up market to say, if you want to shop at Meijer, you're someone special. Why don't they aim at doing something like that?
Well, I think there's a big change with Meijer. I think David Jones has always been seen as the more exclusive department store. I think Meijer would have to do a lot of work to get up to
Meijer needs to address where it is in relation to Target, Kmart, as well as it's got so many broad things that... You know, Country Road, it's Sass & Bide. It's competing with other retailers that also have their own standalone as well.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are three people who work in retail: Jessie Cameron, owner of the Moulton store; Catherine Michael, director of CM Inc. Communications and Marketing; Christine Moody, founder of Brand Audits. Steve Austin's my name. Jessie, why is the future of retail voice activated?
Oh, I love this. I think this is so fascinating. So there's a prediction that in the next 4 years, purchases made through devices such as Google Home and Amazon's Echo are predicted to rise to $40 billion, which is crazy, by 2022.
They're the latest digital thing.
Yeah, they are.
Fad or
apparently
moment,
so.
Aren't they?
So essentially, if your listeners aren't familiar with this is AI devices that enable you to purchase simply by asking a question. You know, you might have seen some cheeky commercials on television where people are asking Alexa to do certain things like order them an Uber. Look, you know, I think... Amazon Echo, it's currently being used in 10% of US households, even though it's not a big thing here yet.
It will be.
Yeah, it definitely will be.
Radio stations are thinking about it as well, you know, because you know, the sort of radio is worried about, okay, what's going to happen if you go to Google Home and say, all right, Google, give me Steve Austin on drive on the ABC.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? And so the ABC is working behind the scenes to make sure that when you with the whoever runs the digital plug. You know, when you say, "Hey, Alexia, give me Steve Austin on Drive,"
that
actually streams the internet of this program to you. So a lot of organisations are looking at these voice activated and what it means for. Mm.
There was an ad during the Super Bowl that was it was an ad about when Alexa
on
got
microphone, sick. Please, Chris.
Oh, when Alexa got sick, mm-hmm. and they had famous people on the other end. Alexa had a sore throat, so Rebel Wilson, etc., doing the voices for "What do you want for that?" You know, it was really really funny. So when Alexa got sick,
it's interesting from a brand and recall point of view. So customers asking quite generic questions. Alexa or Google might just be serving up some home brand or some of their own versus asking for specific, Steve Austin ABC versus what's on radio this afternoon. Mm. So one's a very general question and one is very specific using a station and a brand and an identity. It might be the same as definition of best. Is that most searched? Is that most popular? Or is that volume?
Absolutely.
I think that's where the headache is. They're trying to work out what the algorithms are written to do. Mm. I think so.
For brands who've spent millions and decades, even centuries, building brands, it's a real new era to actually what role do they play in people's memories?
Yeah,
so
certainly.
When AI is real and very prevalent, how do people remember your brand in a new way?
Yeah, how do they ask for your brand specifically? I think it is a bit of a contentious issue at the moment because this sort of opens, the floor to talking about the kind of trust that consumers have in products. So not only the trust that consumers have in brands that they're requesting, but also the trust that consumers have in Amazon, in Google. You know, for example, one of the problems that's been identified at the moment is that customers are unable to compare prices for products. You know, if you're asking for something specifically, even if you say, Alexa, buy me the cheapest milk or something, then that's Alexa making the decision about what is the best value, not necessarily you.
Mm-hmm. Or toilet paper or all those other essentials.
Exactly, So there's a few interesting challenges and obstacles that will have to be addressed, I think.
Drew of Morningside sent me a note saying, "Steve, read department stores in their future. The David Jones store of James Street New Farm is the future of department stores. A small footprint, targeted product offerings and a lot of showrooming," inverted commas.
Yeah, and their food halls.
Do you guys agree with that?
Yes, and those food halls they're introducing, they are definitely smaller footprints. Mm-hmm. It means people can actually, that's their sort of click and collect area too. So you can order online and go to James Street and pick it up. You don't need to come to the city.
Okay.
The food halls, you'll do the same things with food.
It's catering to a demographic where that demographic is, as opposed to asking them to come into Uber centres or the CBDs.
Mm. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Steve Austin's my name. We're talking about retail. We don't take ads or do stuff about products. That's why we're talking about them. What happened to Harvey Norman? Yesterday, their shares plunged. Jerry Harvey basically said, "The market doesn't understand me," which was very surprising.
Mm. But he's addressing the market.
I did some research.
14% fall. Mm. But, I mean, Jerry Harvey's the guy that sells Google Home or all the latest electronic stuff or what have you. So what's going wrong with Harvey Norman, Christine Moody?
Well, that wasn't the reason. The main reason is they had to write off a big loss in they've got a dairy farm. The company's got 49.9% in a dairy farm. That's why the headlines was, Jerry Harvey gets creamed or whatever it was.
Soured.
I didn't get it till I went, dairy farm. So they've made a huge loss. So they had to write it off at some time. This is it. And as he said, if you look beyond that, you've got to look a little bit deeper. If you took that out of the equation, he's actually done very well.
So really? Okay.
Yeah. So he's actually saying, actually, this is a time if you really want to, the shares are down, buy them because they're really good. So take out the dairy because it's been written down as a, the asset obviously has decreased in value. So they have to take a hit.
They've actually had a 5% increase in revenue.
Yep.
So
their share price plummeted, but their revenue went up 5%.
Yes, because of the farm. But he said, Jerry Harvey said, it would dampen his enthusiasm to make non-retail investments in the future. Because they own a lot of their stores. So retail, owning the retail space and actually doing what he's doing, the dairy farms put him in where he is at the moment. So,
That's interesting. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Anne of Stafford sent me a note to ask you. Anne says, Target's stock is so low, they can't possibly keep numbers. Anyone else is noticing this? Any observations?
It's getting scarce in spots.
What does that mean, Catherine?
Either means they're doing a massive rationalisation of the styles and number of lines they're providing. So where they might have had, you know, 16 styles of black women's shoes, they may only now put four out and do them in a deeper volume. Or that they're having some supplier reviews and that they may not need as much space in some of the spaces they were once in or still occupy.
But definitely looks different. They've definitely gone through the stores. Everything looks, they've obviously got an expert in to look at where how everything's displayed. So not only is there less stock, it's the shelf height is lower. You can see
the
through
classic,
things.
Classic pencil thing that Guy Russo did at Kmart. Like, do we need to sell 14 different styles of black HB pencils or do we just need to sell two?
I've noticed that they're selling homewares very cheaply and that every store is selling homewares now.
It's a big growth area, that's why.
Why?
Because people don't have to buy new furniture. They can buy new cushions and doonas and blankets.
But if everyone's selling it, doesn't that mean they're all undercutting each other in price all the time?
The cost of some of that homewares, soft furnishings, has come right down. Mm. What used to be the freedom sort of level has actually hit discount department stores in a big way. So what you used to buy at Freedom for maybe $200, $150, you're now buying from Target and Kmart for $29 and $59. So the price points and their ability to access a trend and convert it very quickly is much faster than some of those traditional larger format furniture and homeware stores. So they're jumping on trends much faster than what, you know, even Myer and David Jones hardly sells furniture anymore. Yeah. Myer's struggling, but Kmart, they sell out of stock, which makes it more, even more, you know, harder to get the fear of missing out.
5 to 5, news at 5. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. I'm Steve Austin. The Retail Food Group. What's going on there, Catherine Michael? I believe they're in a trading halt. Is that right?
I always feel like I'm responsible when you say my name. And
Catherine? Miss Catherine, come to the front, please.
Come to the office.
Retail Food Group have really...
Catherine Michael, aisle 9.
aisle 9. They've failed to lodge their half-year results, so trading in their shares has been suspended today, as of this morning.
How serious an issue if you don't lodge your results report in time to the market?
ASIC has a fairly dim view. View of that, right, where they will suspend trading in
Simple
your
as
shares.
That. You haven't given market an answer. Right, we're suspending your shares.
Yep. It's as easy.
And then
as
everyone
that.
Looks at going, what's going on there?
Absolutely.
So what's going on there?
So auditors who are PwC were unable to sign off their half year to December accounts.
Sorry, PwC were unable to sign off on their accounts.
On RFG's accounts, and that sometimes they might need an extra day or two or an extra week or two. And last year, just towards the end, they were forced to, RFG was forced to restate previous year's accounting treatment of really critical things in retail, intangibles, payments for acquisitions they had made in recent years, and their treatment of marketing funds between them and the franchisees. Interestingly, their shares were at their lowest point in December, just before Christmas 2017, and on the back of quite a lot of unfavourable reporting in national media with very disgruntled franchisees, asking the questions of the sustainability of the business model. It's Gloria Jean's, Crust Pizza, Michelle's Patisserie, they bought DiBella Coffee. You know, where does that look in sort of from a sustainable portion? But at one point their shares were, quite high, but now they've gone from a guidance of 22 million, the year before it was 33 million, and they're now saying around 17. So their profit guidance is continuously going in the direction that most shareholders would not appreciate.
Going south, in other words.
And they would know this. They've been very quiet since the last lot of bad press on them, I guess. And they've obviously, it's just come out that they have been suspended, but yeah, it's not good.
Although Retail Food Group is not a brand as such, is it? The brand's under the umbrella. It's more an umbrella. Rather.
It's an aggregator.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it collects brands along the way and, you know, it's a franchise business and it operates slightly differently depending on which sort of vertical, from the pizza business to their coffee business and to Gloria Jean's. But you know, it's hard to find a really happy franchisee across any franchises.
I'm not surprised. You were talking about how hard it was for different department stores. Bill of Clontarf sent me a note saying, appliances online, I ordered a new fridge, $300 off retail, delivered next day, first thing in the morning, and they took away the old one.
Wow.
How do you compete with that? How does anyone compete with that?
I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, you know
it's
what?
No wonder department stores can't
no,
compete.
No, that's true. In all honesty, I think maybe if you've got competitors who are offering things like that, maybe you would look at your own business and go, okay, you know, is it possible for us to perhaps simplify our offer, concentrate on our niche, and really own that? You know, if your competitors are...
Focus on what you're good at.
Absolutely. Mm. And just trim away all the fat.
And understand people's pain. If the pain is, I want to buy a new fridge, but how do I get rid of the old one?
Which is the big part of the equation.
Mattress companies have addressed the same thing. It's understanding customers' pain points, addressing them, and then promoting them so people go, why wouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Final observations, closing remarks, anything we need to know before we go to the news?
I guess the,
Christine.
Well, the good news about Myer is they've signed an agreement with the Marley Grower in Sydney, and they're supporting it for 3 years, and we get the spin-off up here because after the Mardi Gras...
Better men's fashions.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, no, do you remember the 80s when gay guys all of a sudden improved male fashion? Like, you know, they became this big influencer on male fashion, and all of a sudden heterosexual guys used to dress well?
Yeah, well, this is more around... They've got their own dedicated page. It's more around for the event, for the Mardi Gras procession, makeup and things like that. But apparently the windows and the retailers have gone all out in Sydney, so...
Only thing to add, there was a little piece, Ray Organic, but it's only...
W-R-A-Y.
It was only three stores, so not all of the stores, some of their franchises are still operating, so it's not everyone. And that's when sort of, you know, really niche goes normal. So organic food now is very easy to find in a lot of supermarket aisles.
Jessie?
Well, one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about, but we did discuss off air, was why are printed catalogues still a thing for department stores?
Yes. Quite niche.
I can tell you when the newspapers come in here, the scramble for the newspaper is actually about the catalogue inside the newspaper.
Yeah, you shake it and get the catalogues out.
That's true.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Steve.
Jessie Cameron, Catherine Michael and Christine Moody.
You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane with Steve Austin.